From time to time this year, we have been looking at some Bible couples, and I want to do that again this evening. And based upon the scripture reading that we just had, you might be able to guess that we're going to be talking this evening about Joseph and Mary. And I hope that our series on these Bible couples is encouraging to us as couples today. But whether we're married or not, we can learn some lessons from these individuals. And we've been going back and forth between the Old Testament and the New Testament in this series. We've also been going back and forth between couples that are positive in nature and couples that are negative in nature. We've looked at some negative ones like Ananias and Sapphira, and recently Isaac and Rebekah. This evening is a positive message in being the Lord's servant. And that is so fundamental to our lives today, like we just sang. I find it interesting in that song that we just sang, the very first verse, I think it was, that spoke of being a servant like Jesus. And we're going to be reminded this evening that His own mother was a servant. And so I want us to talk this evening about this couple who became the Lord's servants. We're going to be looking this evening at Matthew chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 2 and Luke chapter 1. And it reminds me that it goes along some with our new study of the life of Christ. And let me encourage you to maybe incorporate that into your daily Bible reading. Now would be a good time, if you have not started that, to start that. And you can use your adult workbook, the headings at the top, and you can use those scripture references to do a daily Bible reading. That would be great. It'd be good to do that with the family. If you have young folks at home, it would just be a great thing all the way around, and you could do the life of Christ as your daily Bible reading. But we're going to look this evening at Joseph and Mary. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, in just a moment, we will be doing some reading there. As you're turning there, I want you to think about God's plan that He had to save the world from sin, and how that plan included a married couple named Joseph and Mary. Think about that. God had a plan to save the world through Jesus Christ, but that involved a married couple named Joseph and Mary. And this couple learns to sacrifice, they learn to serve, and they learn to suffer. And as married couples, it would be good for us today to do the same. I want us to think, brethren, this evening, if we're married this evening, or even our young people or others who may be contemplating marriage, to pick out someone that you can sacrifice with for the Lord. I want you to think about the importance of that. We're going to talk later in the lesson about how that it's good for us to spend time together as a married couple. We need to get off and spend time together with each other, and that's always a good thing. Guys, I think if you were to go home this evening and say, honey, let's go off and spend some time together, I think, boy, they would really be happy with you. So if you want some brownie points, there you go. But while it's good to do that, we need to be a married couple that sacrifices and serves for the Lord. And we're going to see this evening that Joseph and Mary did that very thing. Think about the weight of the responsibility. When you hear from the angel, you're going to be the mother of the Savior of the world. Think about the weight of that responsibility that is now on the shoulders of Joseph and Mary. Consider how they would have thought and lived each day knowing that Jesus is the Savior of the world, and that Mary is the actual mother of our Lord, Luke 1:43. We're going to see this evening, brethren, that it's starting in Matthew chapter 1, when the angel comes on more than one occasion, you're going to see several references to God using an angel, that Joseph and Mary have to learn to trust each other, and they have to learn to sacrifice and serve in God's plan. Would we have done that? Would it have been maybe the husband says, no, I don't want to do that. Or the wife says, no, I don't really want to do that. Would you have been the married couple that was picked? would Sherry and I have been the married couple that was picked? Stop and think about that. God used a couple who would trust and obey Him. We're going to stand in just a moment at the end of our lesson in an invitation song, an old one, Trust and Obey. And we sing it a lot in our vacation Bible school. But you know what? That song is not just for an invitation song. That song is for all of us every day. We need to be married couples who trust and obey. I'm just going to do what God wants me to do. And even if we're not married, that needs to be our approach to life. Joseph and Mary took what God said to them, and they just went out and did it. And they did it together. There was no fussing and fighting between them. There was no tug of war. There was no where one was a little bit more spiritually minded than the other one, and I've got to pull my mate along. There wasn't any of that. You're not going to find tonight where when God comes and says, I want the two of y'all to do such and such, where one of them said, I don't know. Dragging my feet. Let's be a married couple that sacrifices and serves whenever the Lord wants us to do something. Yes, it's great for us to spend time together in me time and our together time and retreat time and all of that, and that's a good thing. But in our general daily walk of life, let us be, Lord, we're here as husband and wife to serve your plan. We live in a world, and I talk about this a lot, 2 Timothy 3:2, we live in a world of lovers of self. We live in a world of selfishness. And many people learn from an early age to be selfish and not to serve others. Yet as Christians and as married couples, we need to learn from Joseph and Mary how to serve the Lord and carry out His plan in the world today. He still has a plan. It's not the exact same plan of bringing Jesus into the world. It's another plan, but it is a plan. As Christians in the Lord's church, God has a plan for us in our world today. And as married couples, can we be fulfilling that? So let's consider this evening some things that Joseph and Mary did to sacrifice and serve the Lord in being the parents of Jesus and in helping God carry out His plan. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, and let's see first of all that Joseph and Mary were sacrificing for the Lord's plan. In Matthew chapter 1, after the genealogy of Jesus, in verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, the old English, according to this manner. When his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. But when he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him. This is the first of several angels, if you'll want to make a note in your Bible this evening, that God uses to communicate with Joseph and Mary. An angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for it is he that shall save his people from their sins. First of all, we learned this evening that Joseph sacrificed when he accepted the truth that Mary was pregnant and it was not his child. An angel says to him that that which is in her, that which is conceived in her, is of the Holy Spirit. Stop and think about that. You're betrothed to a woman. And you're being told that she's pregnant with the Holy Spirit. Today, that would be like, yeah, right. Do you trust and obey? Here's an angel that comes to Joseph and says this. Do you trust that? He does. And it begins right here with trust and obey. He had to trust the Lord about Mary and about what he was being told. The two were betrothed to each other, and we're told in Luke 1:27 that Mary was a virgin. But now the child would be of the Holy Spirit, not of Joseph. Well, even then, you can also begin to say on the man's part, well, I don't know if I want to be with her anymore. This whole thing is questionable. But we begin to see this matter of sacrificing and trusting the Lord. The news that Mary was pregnant supernaturally must have been a difficult thing for Joseph to grasp. Both Joseph and Mary had to sacrifice and forego the normal conception process for the Lord's plan. And not only that, but the angel of the Lord in Luke 2:21 named the son. So, from the very get-go, there is trust in the Lord and belief of His Word. But let's keep reading. In Matthew chapter 1, in verse 22, now all this has come to pass that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophets, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with a child. Now, if this is the angel continuing to talk with Joseph, he's now getting a Bible lesson from the angel. What is happening, Joseph, to your betrothed wife is that she's fulfilling what Isaiah said. And Isaiah said that there would be a virgin that would conceive. And Mary is now the fulfillment of that. Now, not only do we have an announcement of a supernatural birth, but this prophecy some 700 years before, this is now coming to pass with your betrothed wife. Wow, I've got to trust that. And I've got to believe in that. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being God, which is being interpreted God with us. What an amazing thought. And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took unto him his wife. Trust and obey. It's not just for someone who needs to come forward. It's not just an invitation song. It's every day, brethren. And when God is telling us in our marriage and in our life, this is something I want for you to do. Husbands, Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church, and wives, respect your husband and submit to them, and a host of other things. Trust and obey. And what a great example we have in this young couple. The second thing we find is that Joseph sacrificed when he accepted the truth that Mary's son Jesus would save the world. He's going to be the Savior of the world, verse 21. He is going to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah, verse 22 and 23. When Joseph heard that Jesus would save his people from their sins, and that Jesus was the fulfillment of a 700-year-old prophecy, that takes a lot of trust. And what did Joseph do with all this newfound information? Your wife is pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and she's the fulfillment of a 700-year-old prophecy. What did he do with all of that? The text says he arose and did as the Lord commanded. He didn't resist. He didn't break down and fall apart. Today you hear about that. Something in the Word of God wants me to do something. Well, I'm just going to have a breakdown. And I'm not making fun of people who seriously have a certain issue. I'm talking about the average public who just makes a much ado about nothing. That we find this couple, okay, you said it, and I'm going to go out and do it. He complied. And he sacrificed. And he would continue doing this all the way through Jesus' birth and childhood. So he arose. He arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded. And that's the way we need to act. Turn with me, we're going to come back to Matthew in just a minute, but turn with me to Luke chapter 2, and let's continue on in this process. We find that Joseph and Mary sacrificed when it came time for Mary to give birth. If you'll come with me to Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. Now it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment made by Quirinius, who was governor of Syria, and all went to enroll themselves, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the family of David, to enroll him with Mary, who was betrothed to him, being great with child. And it came to pass, while they were there, the days were fulfilled that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. When Jesus was born, there was no room for them in the inn. And they're out in a different place. They're away from home. They don't have the normal home life situations. And they were trusting and obeying. When things don't go quite right in life, when things are not normal, when things are a little different, do we just break down and fall apart, or do we just keep doing what God wants us to do? Some job change or moving change or some issue going on with our family or something that comes up that's a little different and not exactly the best situation. Do we just fall apart, or do we keep serving the Lord? We'll come back to Luke 2. But now back in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1, Matthew 2 and verse 1, Joseph and Mary sacrificed when they were told to leave Bethlehem. After the visit of the wise men in Matthew chapter 2, who came to worship Jesus, Herod wanted to kill Jesus, and Joseph is told by an angel to leave and go down into Egypt some 200 miles south. Look at Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13. Now when they were departed, that is the wise men, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream. Here's the second time, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. That's not around the corner. They didn't just go around the corner to Egypt. You got to go down to Egypt. And be there until I tell thee, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Consider the sacrifice that was made along the way to go down into Egypt. And those of you who were parents remember, especially with your first child, the challenges that were there and the inconveniences and the different things that go along with that, and then travel down to Egypt. But they did what they were told. Joseph did what he was told. And he arose, underscore that in your Bible, back in verse chapter 1 and verse 24. Joseph arose, 1:24. 2:14, he arose and took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Well, can't we figure out a way to get away from Herod by doing something else? Maybe we could hide out and we don't have to make that long, dusty, dirty trip down into Egypt. There's going to be a bunch of strangers down there, and where are we going to stay? And we don't have any relatives down there. Is there any way that we can just stay up here and do our own thing? No, they just did what they were told to do. And they figured it out. What a great attitude. And let us have that in our marriage. When we're told in God's Word to be doing this and doing that, let us just simply do what God wants us to do. He knows what is best for us. And they were there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophets, saying, out of Egypt did I call my son. Hosea 11:1. Number 5. Joseph and Mary sacrificed again when they were retold to return to Israel. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked, chapter 2, verse 16, of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the male children that were in Bethlehem and all the borders thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had exactly learned of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel. God keeps coming to them with an angel and giving them a message. And all along the way, they can either say, no, I'm not interested in that, or I want to trust and obey. And so an angel again, verse 19, comes to Joseph in Egypt saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead that sought the young child's life. Well, wait a minute. We just came down in here into Egypt and we just got settled and we're making some new friends and you're telling me to go back home again. Every time the angel of the Lord comes to Joseph and tells him something, Joseph again does what he is told. Verse 21, and he arose. I love it. Just keep showing up. Get up and do what God says. No excuses, no whining and complaining, no bad mouthing the Lord, no questioning, no doubting. Well, I don't know. Just trust and obey. For there's no other way. And we need that in our lives today. And not just in general, but as married couples, both working together to carry out the Lord's plan. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned of God in a dream, he withdrew into the parts of Galilee, being warned of God. Here again, God is speaking to him. So, one last situation. Joseph and Mary sacrificed when they moved to Nazareth, when God warned them in a dream. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken through the prophets, that he should be called a Nazarene. Brethren and friends, Joseph was not an important political figure. Joseph was not a religious leader. Joseph was not a military officer. Do you remember what Joseph was? What his occupation was? Joseph is a hard-working carpenter. But he knew the value of trusting and obeying. He knew about hard work. He knew about sacrifice. And this is what he and Mary did to fulfill God's plan. When you read Matthew chapter 1, you're not just reading about an interesting birth story of Jesus. You're reading about a married couple that God is using to bring about his plan. And it's a couple who's willing to sacrifice and serve for the Lord. And let us be willing to do that. We're going to close this evening with that very point. That let us open up our lives as husbands and wives to sacrifice and serve the Lord as you're doing, and I'll encourage you and encourage us to do it even more. And those of you who are not married, find someone that you can do that with. Find someone who you can do that with. I want a husband or a wife that I can be with, not just for what it brings to us. Marriage has a component to it that is good for us personally. Genesis 2:18. It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a help suitable for him. There's a component to it where we're gratified and we're helped. But there's also a component to marriage where God says you need to be outward looking and serving others. And make sure you pick someone that you can do that with. You're on the same page with. You do not find in Matthew chapter 1 or 2 where there's this tug of war between Joseph and Mary. Well, I don't want to go down to Egypt. Well, we need to go to Egypt. Well, do we really have to go to Egypt? You don't find any of that. And if we need to have a heart-to-heart with someone and say, look, we're not always on the same page. Can we get on the same page? You don't want that constant tug of war. It's just not good for us and it's not good for the children. Let's be on the same page. And notice how that was the case with Joseph and Mary. Turn with me now to Luke chapter 1. Let's look at some things in Luke chapter 1. Not only did Joseph and Mary find themselves sacrificing for the Lord because of their great attitude, but they found themselves serving the Lord. And this comes out especially in our scripture reading this evening and with Mary in particular. She viewed her life as a servant. We live in a very me-oriented world. Look at your social media for the most part. Me, me, me. And do people like me? And do they like what I've posted? And do they appreciate me and so forth? Not all of that's bad. Not all of it's bad. But much of it is egocentric and narcissistic, and we live in this world of me, me, me. Mary does not have that in her. When she's told by the angel that you're going to be the mother of the Lord, her very first thought and idea is, I'm here to serve you, Lord. Wow. What a great attitude. And we can have that in our lives. Look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. Now it's time for Mary to get some angel visits, if you will. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth. This is at the end chapter 1, we see that. To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. That makes it clear that she was a virgin. And she's in fulfillment of Isaiah 7:14. And he came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this might be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. She's immediately thrust into this plan that involves not only a savior of the world, but he's going to be a spiritual king reigning on David's throne spiritually, not physically. And this could be overwhelming to her. But when she hears all of this, she just calmly trusts and obey. You don't find her going berserk. You don't find her just losing it. You don't find her just at her wit's end and I don't know what to do. She just listens and she says, the way the Lord says it, that's the way it's going to be. We need that in our lives today. And so verse 33, And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Wherefore also the holy thing which is begotten shall be called the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, thy kinswoman, as if that announcement is not enough of a wake-up call. Now, Elizabeth, thy kinswoman, she also has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her that was called barren, for no word from God shall be made void of power. That's an awesome passage. Whatever God says, it will come to pass. And Mary said, I don't buy any of this. This is just too extravagant. This is too unbelievable. This is crazy talk. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. The very first thing out of her mouth is, I'm here to serve. Brethren, that needs to be our approach. When we open the Word of God and God is speaking to us today, our very first word out of our mouth needs to be, I'm here to be used. That is so different from our culture today. And I know that you are already doing that, and I appreciate what you're doing that. Let's keep doing that. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. And she uses a word that means a bondmaid, a female slave. be it unto me according to thy word. Your word dictates my life. What an attitude. And let us have that attitude. And young people, when you're looking for someone to marry, if you're looking at somebody and they don't have that attitude, then stay away. Pick someone who has the attitude, God's word dictates my life. And I'm here just simply to serve the Lord. Let's keep reading, verse 39. And Mary arose in these days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted or greeted Elizabeth. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she lifted up her voice with a loud cry and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? For behold, when the voice of thy salutation came into my ears, the babe, John the Baptist, leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, that's Mary, and blessed is she, Mary, that believed, for there shall be a fulfillment of the things which have been spoken unto her from the Lord. And Mary said, look at this, it's called the Magnificat. It's a Latin word that comes from the very first verse. My soul doth magnify, Magnificat. It's taken from that first word there in verse 46. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he looked upon the low estate of his handmaid. She brings it up again. She is a servant of the Lord, and she goes on to talk about how the Lord is going to save Israel. And how the Lord is going to bring back, verse 45, bring about the promise that he gave to Abraham, that in his seed all of the nations would be blessed. Notice that, by the way, verse 55, Mary knows her Bible. Mary knows her Bible. She was willing to serve in the Lord's plan and be, as it were, a female slave. Yes, Mary was highly favored of the Lord. Yes, Mary was the mother of my Lord. But she viewed herself as a slave, carrying out God's plan. And that's how we need to act today. She believed the Lord's word and she obeyed it as a female slave would. She trusted the Lord's word and all of the consequences that would come from it. Let us be a married couple that takes that approach each and every day. And then last of all, turn with me to Luke chapter 2. When it comes time for the birth in Luke chapter 2 and verse 7, and when it comes time for 8 days to be fulfilled, turn with me to Luke chapter 2 and verse 21. Last of all, this was a married couple who was willing to suffer for the Lord's plan. And when 8 days, Luke 2:21, when 8 days were fulfilled for the circumcising of him, Jesus, his name was called Jesus, which was so called by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. See, Joseph and Mary have given up some normal situations. The conception of the child, they had to give all of that up. The naming of the child, they gave that up. They're just doing what God is telling them to do. Well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give up something. Trust and obey and give ourselves over to serving the Lord, and both husband and wife giving themselves over to serving the Lord. And when the days of their purification, according to the law of Moses, was fulfilled, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Notice how they're obedient to Roman law, the taxation in chapter 2, 1 through 7. Notice how they're obedient to Old Testament Mosaic law, chapter 2, 22 and following. Notice how they're obedient to God's word. This is a very obedient couple. and what an environment we want for our children and for our grandchildren every day they see us being obedient to God. And so they're just simply obeying what the law of Moses told them to do on these matters when you have a male child. And they came, verse 24, to offer a sacrifice according to that which was said in the law. Notice how many times in your Bible, according to the law, verse 22, as it is written in the law, verse 23, according to the law, verse 24. This is the kind of parents and grandparents we need to be, and married couples that we need to be. At every corner, we're going to obey what the law says. And they offered up a pair of two turtle doves or two pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And it came in the Spirit, and he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus, that they might do concerning him after the custom of the law. It's always following the law. Then he received him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now let thou my servant depart, Lord, according to thy word in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." He was looking at Jesus, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Jesus is going to be fulfillment of those Isaiah prophecies that said that the Messiah would be a light to the Gentiles. And his father and his mother were marveling at these things which were spoken concerning him. Now listen to this. Simeon blessed them and said, "Mary." Now we're going to get a little bit of a negative message here. But you still have to trust and obey. You still have to be faithful to the Lord. You can't fall apart. There's going to be a little bit of a troubling message here, a little bit of a negative message, because it's going to face the truth and the reality of what is going on. He says to Mary, "Behold, this child, Jesus, is set for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which is spoken against." Or right there, she's hearing, not everybody's going to like my son. Not everybody's going to like him, and they're going to speak against him. And then look at this. "Yea, and a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, that thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed." Mary would have to suffer grief over her son. Mary would have to see the rejection of Jesus during his earthly ministry. She would know that they were going to throw him over a hill in Luke 7. She would know that people would call him, "You have a demon," John chapter 8. If she didn't hear the bad mouthing personally, it would have gotten back to her. And every parent here this evening knows that when somebody in the world does something to your child, your first reaction is, "I want to protect them. I don't want to see them hurt in any kind of way." And she had to witness that. And we haven't even gotten to the cross. She would suffer grief and anguish and pain and sorrow in her soul. And the word that is used for sword here is a large sword. Boy, it's going to lay you open. She and her husband had already sacrificed for the Lord's plan, and they were serving in the Lord's plan, and now she would have to suffer greatly for it. People spoke ill of her son. They tried to kill him on many occasions. Maybe people made fun of her when, "Oh yeah, you're pregnant with the Holy Spirit." Yeah, right. Maybe she had to endure that kind of talk. Dirty looks or glances or smirks or something like that, when it was not Joseph who got her pregnant. She may have felt the pain of ridicule on different occasions during his ministry. And at the base of the cross, if you turn to John chapter 19, she's standing right there at the base of the cross. You think she's going to see and hear what is going on? Absolutely. The gross mistreatment of her son and seeing his intense agony. But she pressed through that, brethren. and her son's rejection and abuse would greatly affect her as a mother. It would pierce her own soul that the thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed. And by the way, some of those thoughts were very ugly. Some of those thoughts were very ugly toward Jesus. And it came out in actions. So brethren, as I close this evening, I want us to be couples who are sacrificing and serving and suffering. Yes, there's time for couples to focus on themselves. And I'm all for Ecclesiastes 9, verse 9. Live joyfully with the wife whom you loveth all the days of your life, and spend time together and do things together. But we also must remember, as a couple, we can be serving the Lord. Let us ask ourselves, what can we be doing to sacrifice and carry out the Lord's plan today? What difficulties are you and I willing to face in order to carry out the Lord's plan? All Christians are servants of Christ. Ephesians 6:6, Colossians 4:12, and a host of other passages. But brethren, as married couples this evening, let us in particular view our life together as Joseph and Mary did. Let's work together to serve the Lord's plan for the church and for the world. When we hear something in an announcement, let's on the way home say, honey, what can we do to be carrying that out? What can we do to work together to serve the Lord's plan for the Warfield Boulevard Church and for the community around us? Let's use our lives together to serve the Lord's plan. Can we share the gospel together? Can we go somewhere as a husband and wife and talk with someone about the Word of God? Can we try to set up a Bible study and invite someone into our home? Can we use benevolence? Can we open up our home and share it with others? Can we use our income and help needy saints that have been hurt with Helene, or maybe one of the ministers that we support that is on hard times? Can we raise our children and grandchildren to become Christians? Can we use our help with each other to go to heaven? Can we open up our home and share the things that we have with others? That's Joseph and Mary, and that needs to be us today. I believe I'm surrounded by married couples this evening who want to do that very thing, and we're just simply reminded tonight that that's what God wants. Do you realize that you have a Savior? You have a Savior because it started with a man and a woman who said, whatever the Lord says, that's what we're going to do. We often think about Jesus, but maybe we forget about Joseph and Mary. And so, if you've not been married very long this evening, let me say to you to talk with your husband and wife and build a habit. Let me encourage you to build a habit at the beginning of your marriage that you're always going to be someone who serves others. Yes, there's going to be time for yourselves, but start a habit early in your marriage to spend some time each week together serving the Lord and doing the Lord's work. Those of you who have been married for several years, you're midlife. We've been married for several years. Maybe we need to reassess our schedules. Maybe we need to reassess our priorities. It's easy in midlife to be consumed with jobs and homes and hobbies and taking the kids here and taking the kids there and schooling and sports and other kinds of things. And what can happen is we fall out of serving the Lord. But we can reassess that, and we can reprioritize that, and we can get that back together. And for those of you who have been married many, many decades and are much older, you can pass on your wisdom and knowledge of God's Word to the younger people. You can talk with them about how important it is to sacrifice and serve for the Lord and the rewards that will follow. We're going to stand and sing this song of invitation, Trust and Obey, but it's not just for people who need to become a Christian. Let's all carry out the Lord's plan together by trusting and obeying. Let's be a Joseph and Mary. What a great couple. These Bible couples are not some superhumans that are so much above us that there's no way we can reach that. They're just like us. And we can have that same attitude in our life. Trust and obey is a great song. If you need to come and put on Christ in baptism, when Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," just trust and obey that. If we need to come back to the Lord, just trust and obey. But let's all leave this evening, especially those as we're studying these Bible couples, to be someone who just opens up our life. Think about all the things early on that Joseph and Mary were told to do. All these things that they're told to do. At every turn, Joseph arose. He just got up. Okay, here's another message from another angel and I'll do it again. Let's just be like that. And let's talk with our spouse. If we see that we're just not quite on the same page, maybe there's just not the same level of spirituality or the same level of desire for that. But have a heart to heart and let's just say, let's do this together. We don't want any tug of war. We don't want anywhere I've got to pull them along. But we're all on that same page walking together to serve the Lord. I'm so grateful that we have these Bible examples. Let's go out now and apply it in our lives. And if we can help you in some way, well, when she comes, we stand and sing the song of invitation. Please let your needs be made known.